listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. With us today in studio, Susan Bigelow, columnist with CT News Junkie, and on the line, Matt Szafranski, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight. Susan, Matt, thanks for being with us.
Of course.
No problem.
We begin this week with the vaping ban in Massachusetts and its impact on the state's marijuana industry. The halt has taken a bite out of business for retailers, and some who used to vape are turning to marijuana flower instead. Steve Hoffman chairs the Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission.
The vaping ban has clearly had an impact in terms of supply, since, you know, that represented about 30% of what was being sold at the stores, and that is obviously no longer the case, and I think that's created a little bit of a product shortage.
Susan, the head of one cannabis company, says he believes some of his customers are turning to the black market for their vaping supplies. Your thoughts on this potential consequence of the ban?
Well, again, we're always in uncharted territory when it comes to the cannabis market. I do think that there is a danger of people going to the black market, absolutely. But this, again, there's not something you can really avoid, I don't think. If you want to get this vaping ban in place, which is a public health concern, that might be one of the consequences. It might just have to be something that, well, you have to fight against it, but we have to accept maybe that happens a little bit. Honestly, I do think that the vaping ban does need to go forward. It does need to happen. And I think that the industry will adjust.
Matt, can the less-than-year-old cannabis industry in Massachusetts recover from this ban?
I suspect they will, because, I mean, they've got a lot of opportunity with, you know, edibles and with traditional marijuana consumption. I suspect that people that are more interested in, or really committed, if you will, to recreational marijuana aren't going to really change up that much. Or let me rephrase that, not buy as much marijuana. The vaping component just gave them an alternative way to do something they'd been doing already.
Moving on, Tuesday, of course, is Election Day in many cities and towns across Western Mass, and recent campaign finance reports show how much it costs to become or stay a mayor. The most expensive race of the six contested elections has been in Pittsfield, where through mid-October, Mayor Linda Tyer and challenger Melissa Mazzio had combined to spend nearly $90,000. Matt, as you look at these figures from across Western Mass, is there anything that jumps out at you?
Well, you know, I think the big thing is that you've got, Pittsfield's mayoral race well outpacing Springfield's. Less than almost a quarter of the people in Pittsfield compared to Springfield. And now, granted, part of it is because the race's competitiveness is different. But, you know, it's still kind of jarring to see a contested race in Springfield spend less money than the race in Pittsfield. It's worth noting that really most of that spending in Springfield is all coming from the incumbent mayor. But still, I mean, campaigning isn't super expensive, but it's not cheap when you've got 150,000 people in your city, and yet, you know, we're losing out to Pittsfield.
Susan, should there be spending limits in local campaigns?
That's a possibility. You can also go with public financing. There are some cities and towns across the region, like New Haven, that do have public financing for municipal campaigns. Also, it's just interesting to go into these numbers to see what the amounts are being spent on. In the Pittsfield race, the challenger, Mazzio, seems to be spending quite a lot of money on campaign consultants. And I always worry about that when I see a campaign spending a lot of money on consultants, just because that seems to indicate that they're not quite sure what they're doing. But that does seem to be at least where some of this money is going.
Let's stay on elections. You've both written about related topics. And Susan, let's start with you. Connecticut Secretary of State Denise Merrill recently floated shifting off-year elections to on-year elections, consolidating them on the ballot when there's a state or national election. Supporters say that turnout would be better and it would save money having fewer elections. But you write that there's a place for these off-year contests. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, all of our off-year contests, they're all municipal elections. They're all town and city elections. And if you combine these things, yes, you're going to see turnout jump. Turnout right now through our municipal elections is very, very low. It tends to be in the 30s or less. And that is a real shame, because these elections matter. They matter quite a bit because it's what's going on in your town. But there is a place for having these things during the off year, because if you have it during a time when the presidential or congressional or governor's race is happening, then municipal issues get buried. And the nice thing about having a whole sort of year to yourself for municipal elections is that you can actually talk about these issues. And I do worry that these elections, especially in places where the races are Republican versus Democrat, they're partisan, that they'll just become more so.
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm inclined to agree with Susan's latter point. I mean, Springfield, for example, has, you know, infamously bad turnout in its municipal elections. And I'm not sure that we would be better served by having them take place at the same time as the governor's race or the presidential races. It's worth noting that Springfield, like virtually all Massachusetts municipalities, have nonpartisan elections. So you might not see exactly the same, you know, proxy fights in those races, but who's really going to be paying attention to getting elected to the, you know, Springfield School Committee when, you know, everybody's talking about the presidential race?
And Matt, there's a city council race in Springfield Tuesday, and one challenger for an at-large seat has found himself at the center of controversy since the preliminary. You first reported on the story of Chris Poner for your website. What's been going on?
Over the last few years, Chris Poner has written some comments on Facebook that appear to be homophobic and transphobic. And he also used a screen name called Firebird for Mass Live comments. Those comments were particularly racist, referring to like young black males as parasitic and referred to Springfield overall as Mudville. He denies having made particularly the Mass Live comments. He was a little bit more circumspect in whether or not he was denying having made the Facebook comments because those were clearly under his name. But he did admit to having this screen name on Mass Live that he created it, I should say. And it created quite a big backlash. I mean, you had local organizations, including organized labor and police and fire unions, backing away from him. The mayor, who was very a strong supporter of his, you know, backed away. And several counselors and one other challenger, Kelly Moriarty Finn, called for him to drop out of the race. And it's been quite a gyration for a race that hadn't been getting a lot of attention from the press, despite the open at-large seat that is on the ballot this year.
Susan, I'll give you the last word on this.
It just goes to show you that newspaper comments and Facebook comments on news tend to be so toxic, but you can't always guarantee that there's going to be an anonymity. We like to assume that if we're using a screen name online that no one's ever going to find out about it, but sometimes people do. I am actually very heartened, though, to see the response, to see, even in a time where we complain about our political discourse being so toxic, that there's a sort of unified response saying, no, this is unacceptable and we won't have it.
All right, Susan Bigelow with CT News Junkie and Matt Szafranski with Western Mass Politics and Insight. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us for the Shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. You can also listen to us whenever you want at Apple Podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.